You're listening to the Wildcat 91.9, and this is the Nonviolence Half Hour Show. My name is Jessica, and
Jenna,
and Clara,
and we are three advocates and educators from the CARE office. That's the Center for Advocacy, Response, and Education. And every Nonviolence Half Hour Show, we choose a topic to talk about that relates to pop culture and sexual and domestic violence, which I know are really awesome topics that everyone loves to hear about on the radio. But we've got a really great topic this week, I think, that's really interesting and that we'd love to engage in with the community. So I guess someone want to introduce the topic?
So today we are going to talk about rape depictions on television shows. We see this a lot in popular programming, and this discussion was definitely spurred?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the word we're going for. By a recent Game of Thrones episode.
Mm-hmm.
So spoiler alert, we will be talking about that just a little bit, but also in very generalized terms about some critical thoughts we have about how popular shows depict sexual assault and implications for our broader society. But before we delve into that, we do want to make sure we give a trigger warning, since we will be talking in general about sexual assault and sexual violence. So if you are a survivor of any of those experiences or a similar trauma, this may be a hard show for you to listen to, so certainly do what feels best for your self-care. If you feel like you continue to listen, that would be great, but if it needs to be a show you skip, we certainly understand.
So before we delve into this awesome show that we're about to do, we will throw to some music. So this first song is called No Way Out by Warpaint. You're listening to Wildcat 91.9.
Play that game with you. Got caught up again.
You're listening to Wildcat 91.9. My name is Clara, and I am here with Jenna and Jessica from the CARE office at K-State. And as a part of our nonviolence half-hour show, we are talking to everyone today about rape depictions that are in the media and around popular shows like Game of Thrones, and kind of the reactions that have been portrayed since then.
So, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the May 17th episode of Game of Thrones this year, I believe that we were on season 5 and that was episode 6. We will be talking a little bit about what happened. So if you want to not hear, close your ears for a quick second. So Game of Thrones is not a non-violent show, I guess we would say. There's lots of violence. I think we've seen castration, beheadings, really horrible depictions of war and terror. And rape is certainly not a new plot theme on this show, but there's been some, I think we would say, really good critical outrage about the most recent episode, or one of the recent episodes, where the character Sansa Stark was raped by her new husband on their wedding night. And to set up that scene just a little bit, essentially we see a character, Sansa, who's a very young girl, I think she's in her teens at this point in the show, who has very little choice. Her family has been killed off for the most part. She has very little protectors, and she is in her homeland, but it's occupied by another warring family, and she's being married off to the sadistic son, and is then raped very violently on her wedding night. And to complicate the scene further, a character named Theon, who I guess you would call a prisoner of that family, is forced to watch this. And the show, instead of depicting Sansa and her experience, uses her cries of pain during this experience as a backdrop, and it focuses on Theon and the effect it has on him. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's how the show cuts to the end. That's the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. And so after this aired, there's been a lot of outcry about that depiction and what it means for that character and what it means for how Game of Thrones handled this particular sexual assault.
First, I guess we want to say that we're not in the show going to argue that depicting rape on TV or in movies is never allowed. That's not going to be our stance. But we do believe, as we've probably said in previous shows, that being critical of what we consume is absolutely imperative, as imperative as what we consume, I think. So if you really love Game of Thrones, I think you have a duty to sort of analyze what's going on, try to understand the writers and producers' motives and the characters' motives. I mean, you become invested in a show. And so I don't think it's outside of our realm of, you know, responsibility to be critical when we believe that something could have been handled better. And yeah, as Jenna said, the show has depicted rape before. So Daenerys was sexually assaulted, seemingly. I would say, I guess others would argue that, you know, in light of the times, whatever, that she was married and expected to have sex with her husband, but she was definitely unwilling. And and then also Jaime and Cersei Lannister, there was a rape scene, which the producers argued wasn't a rape scene, actually.
They said it was consensual in the end.
Right.
Which is very problematic. We don't have time to get into that.
And so we're also going to bring up, I think, other TV shows that have depicted rape. Scandal is one. House of Cards, although maybe didn't depict it, alluded to it. And Downton Abbey also had a pretty famous scene that also created some outcry.
And as Jessica touched on, I think the point of this show is we want the audience and audiences viewing shows like these to critically analyze the explicit and implicit messages that these writers are giving us through these stories, and understand what that means for our realities, and make sure that we're consistently showing rape in a way that's true to the trauma and not necessarily just as a lazy plot twist to make a character more interesting.
Absolutely. So maybe we could start with how we reacted, what we felt like was, I don't know, emotionally in us when we saw that. I know Clara hasn't seen the episode. Right. Maybe you can talk about Scandal or something, when, or any other show that you feel invested in. So Jenna, what did you, like, how did you react when you saw
that episode? Say that I watched this episode with a few friends, and throughout the episode we were joking. I think we were making jokes about Jamie Lannister's, like, iron hand and things like that. And then it quickly became apparent to everyone in the room that this is how the episode was going to end, and everyone got silent and then kind of left the gathering in this air of silence, because I think a lot of people didn't know how to react to that. And I remember turning to my significant other on the car ride home and being mad about how they depicted it. And my point of contention at the time was that they made it about Theon. Mm-hmm. This is a traumatic, visceral experience for Sansa, and they make it about Theon. If you're going to be bold enough as a show to depict something as serious as sexual assault, then be bold enough to depict it in its reality. So that would have been focusing on Sansa. Not that I'm saying we need to have a graphic rape scene, but focusing on her face or cutting out or however they want to film it. But by focusing on Theon, we do this thing that happens naturally in society of, well, unfortunately naturally, of a lot of times when a rape occurs or someone discloses that they're a survivor of violence, there's a focus on how that affects everyone else and how they deal with it. And that felt very disheartening to me. And that was my first reaction. I had a lot more after that, but that was my first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think mine was, so I immediately, my first immediate verbal reaction was, well, that was a really horrible way to end that episode because it just went straight to credits. So to leave you with that is hard. And I think that's maybe the drama that they gave it. But I think, as we're going to talk about, there are other ways that it could have been handled. And then I also maintain that listening to rape is just as bad as watching it. And maybe in some ways worse, because it allows your imagination to take it rather than you understanding what's happening. So, like, I think of the movie The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. They do that same thing in the American version, and I think in the Swedish version too, but you understand exactly what's happening, and they actually show more graphic detail, I think. But then they close the double doors and they pan out and you hear what's happening to her rather than see it. And for me, that's harder in some ways. I don't know if that's fair to say. Or maybe what I want to say is it's just as hard. But yeah, I don't know. Claire, what are your reactions to viewing those scenes?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I haven't had the opportunity to watch that episode of Game of Thrones, but I know just in the media in general and several other shows such as Scandal, which I'm a fan of, displays scenes of rape. And Melly, who is one of the main characters, she's kind of seen as a villainous character throughout most of the show. And then I think the producers kind of used her they used the scene where she experienced rape and tried to create some sympathy from the viewers. And it's a little bit problematic because of her villainous character. The purpose of that scene shouldn't have been used to create sympathy, because that's not exactly something that needs to be portrayed. So we see this in Scandal and House of Cards and Downton Abbey and Game of Thrones, and it's kind of become very common, I think, in the media for these occurrences of rape to occur, and it's almost expected, and it's rather unnecessary, I think, if we're not looking behind the purpose of why these scenes are being shown.
We're going to play a little bit of music right now. We'll come back and talk about, you know, some other reactions we had, and then also some things that we think are important when producers and writers write and film these scenes and some other considerations. So this song that we're going to play right now is called, maybe it makes a little bit of sense, Big Girls Don't Cry by Sia, but this is an Odessa remix. So this is the Wildcat 91.9 Nonviolence Half Hour. I'm not afraid to was Big Girls Don't Cry by Sia. It was an Odessa remix. This is the Wildcat 91.9 Nonviolence Half Hour. With Jenna, Jessica, and Clara, we are talking about rape depictions on television and in movies. So yeah, we've started off talking about Game of Thrones in the most recent episode 5, season 6, called Unbent, Unbowed, and Unbroken. So yeah, Jenna, you had some thoughts you wanted to share, I think.
I wanted to share a little bit. So there's been this notion put out of, you know, the outcry is that this was a senseless rape, that it came out of nowhere. And I want to acknowledge those points, but also say that's true for any sexual assault. So I think the anger people feel towards that can be justified, but let's make sure that we center it in the reality of how this happens in our life. I think people feel upset that a character that they liked experienced sexual assault. Well, unfortunately, the reality is that individuals that we care about experience sexual violence. So that's one soapbox. But I also did want to highlight, there was a really great point made by Joanna Robinson in a Vanity Fair article that came out shortly after the episode aired. And she was addressing some of the flaws in the defenses people have said about why this might have been written into the plot. And I'm going to quote her here. And she says, "Even worse than the idea of Sansa needing this to motivate her into vengeance is the notion that the Theon character needed to watch her rape in order to snap out of whatever zombie fugue state he's been walking around in. I'm afraid that is the show's interpretation based on where the camera lingered," so referring to how it focused on his character instead of Sansa. "But the last thing we needed was to have a powerful young woman brought low in order for a male character to find redemption. No, thank you." Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that kind of exemplifies some of my qualms with how the show handled it.
Mm-hmm. And I think from a storytelling perspective, that's what I think it was an extraneous scene. And so the Daily Beast has this really good article, is written by Melissa Leon. And she talks about how this scene already told us everything we knew about all the characters. Mm-hmm. So we already knew Ramsay was a sadistic psychopath. We already knew Sansa was going to do whatever it takes to survive. She's already done that with Joffrey, by marrying Tyrion. You know, she's already proven that she understands that this is what she has to do to survive. And then we already knew that Theon was tortured. So I guess I do see that point is valid, that, you know, that there was no reason for this scene. It didn't tell us anything new. It didn't provide any new information or new plot twists. I guess it is a pretty huge plot twist, but I don't know. I don't like the idea that it's necessary, as you said, for people to get revenge or to seek revenge. I think everyone already wants Ramsay Bolton to die and this his character anyway, right? So yeah, to suggest that scene was necessary to make it happen is a little bit discouraging,
and honestly just seems lazy if that's the only way the writers can come up with to highlight these character points. Then it's just lazy, to be honest. I think that rape is sometimes thrown into shows as a metaphor for women suffering or men suffering. Mm-hmm. But it just seems in a haphazard way. And it'll be interesting to see how they carry out Sansa's character afterwards. Because someone in my viewing group said, oh, this is going to be the thing that turns Sansa cold. Mm-hmm. Like that's a woman's only response to sexual assault. And if it is, that's perfectly okay. But unfortunately, that's our knee-jerk reaction of, oh, this could be a justified reason for someone being cold.
Yeah, like she didn't already have a justified reason. Mm-hmm. His family killed her mother and her brother, and arguably her brother's wife and heir to their throne. So it's just very, yeah. My good friend Madeline Weta, so you said your friend said something about how this would turn Sansa cold. She's the one who has said before, so why is it that in the male imagination, and it make no mistake, the writers and producers are men of this show, why is it that in the male imagination it takes rape to turn a young appeasing girl into a stone cold woman? And this idea that that's how all rape victims should react, they should want revenge, they should need this in order to you know, get some kind of backbone or something, as if Sansa wasn't, you know, already with backbone and wasn't already with strength.
And that's another problematic thing that I heard is that, oh, well, Sansa just lost the only thing that she had going for her. So her purity.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's something to lose. But that's once again another point.
Virginity is a myth.
That, you know, this character has been exemplified as purity embodied, and that she lost it, and that completely disregards this growing character development of, we see a very vain young, I think, teenager in the beginning. She's mm-hmm. still a teenager, so maybe she was a tween.
Yeah, she was like, she's 15 in this scene.
And so we watch her endure all sorts of traumatic events and begin to come into her own and to explore her own ideas of how she can survive in this world. And that's all on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And to insinuate that the only thing she had going for her is her purity, which she then, to quote someone else, lost, is pretty absurd to me.
Yeah, so we're going to play another song, I think.
And I think we might talk a little bit about how shows can do better at depicting sexual assault. Right.
Throw a little solution in here.
Just do better.
So this next song is called Could I Be by Sylvan Esso, and it's an awesome song. And I saw them in concert in Lawrence, and it was wonderful. So you are listening to the Wildcat 91.9 Nonviolence Half Hour.
I'm covered in soot. We're running for Guadalupe. Hey, when I go home again, my arms are wrapped around my friends. When I go home again, my arms are wrapped around my friends. I'm covered.
Nothing to say.
Wildcat 91.9, and that was Could I Be by Sylvan Esso. I'm Clara, here with Jenna and Jessica from the CARE office once again. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about rape depictions in the media, and I think we're going to start discussing a little bit about how shows can do better with these depictions.
Yeah. Do better.
Be better. So we've already touched on this one, I think, but one of the ways that shows can depict rape in a maybe more, I don't want to say appropriate, but or sensitive. Neither of those words actually describe what I think shows should be more of.
I would say with the appropriate gravity and realisticness.
There we go. But don't use rape to make a character more interesting. Jenna said before, rape doesn't make a character interesting. Rape doesn't make in real life people interesting. That shouldn't be how we view it. It, you know. Of course, it makes it more complex in a lot of ways, in a lot of different ways, depending
but
on who the person is.
Human beings are complex in general.
Right.
So if that's the only way you have to show that, then piss poor on you, writers.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that's what I think. I think there are other ways that writers and producers really need to explore how to make characters complex and have agency, specifically women. I think that's the issue, is that, I mean, and that's a whole nother show, but so yeah.
So not a beat a dead horse. We'll move on from that one.
So I think another way that writers and producers can do better when depicting rape in movies and media of any kind are to not oversimplify the characters. So for instance, Ramsay Bolton is a sadistic psychopath. I mean, everyone knows this. I think a previous girlfriend or sexual partner he had, he got bored of her. And so he released her from what, I don't, like captivity or something, kidnapping, probably sexual slavery, into the wild, and then had wild dogs chase her and rip her to shreds. Okay, so this is the character that he is already.
We know he's evil.
Right, so by making him the rapist in this scene, though, all that you're doing is sort of pointing out to the general public viewers that rapists are once again bad people. They're visibly bad. You know they're bad. They have no morals. They're psychopaths. You know, they have mental illnesses, whatever. And that's not the case. I mean, like, what, 92% of rapes that occur in Kansas are by someone that we know and love, like acquaintances, family, partners, friends, like people who we trust. So
it sets up this myth that the only people who are capable of being rapists are those evil, sadistic ones. And unfortunately, that's not true.
Exactly.
So another suggestion we have is make the story about the victim. So once again, something we've talked about as a point of contention of it didn't focus on Sansa. It wasn't her story. It got taken away. And unfortunately, that's the reality of sexual assault. It's about power, and it's about taking power away from the victim. And so we shouldn't make that a parallel process in how we tell it in media, mm-hmm. on shows. So make it about the victim.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to note that if you're going to display these scenes of sexual violence in your show, you need to show the victim's true realities and their true experiences of that. Otherwise, you're not pointing out the realities of what sexual assault and sexual violence really is in our society.
Mm-hmm. So another suggestion would be to expose rape culture. Now, I think that would be difficult to do maybe in Game of Thrones, I will say. But like in Downton Abbey, the reactions of everyone who found out that Anna was raped was very like supportive, we believe you, all these things that like we hope happens when survivors tell people and systems and police officers, but
you know, the reality is it's just not very common. And so I think another way to expose rape culture, or at least combat it, is to not give the excuse that we did this because this would happen in the time that Game of Thrones would have been filmed in, or the time that this would have occurred in. So first of all, this isn't a time. This is a fictional place. There are dragons, people. Like, can we just go there? But, you know, also, there's no evidence to suggest that rape happened more back in AB. Wait, BC or AD? There we go. Those times. Than now. There's just no evidence to suggest that. Well, I mean, first of all, because we have no, like, statistics from the times of the Bible or any other time. So, to say that it happened more now, more than it does now, I think is, well, first of all, inaccurate, and you have no evidence to suggest that. So,
another suggestion we have is to convey the value of recovery and support. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I think a lot of shows, for lack of a better word, get off on making a really dramatic scene and then leave it there and don't depict the realities of recovery and the importance of seeking and having support. Because as those of us who work in the field, any survivor will tell you, recovery is not linear. We don't just magically keep getting better over time. Sometimes you get better and then it gets worse and you get better and it gets worse. And it's a back and forth circular process and not linear. And so depicting that reality is really important.
Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to see how the show builds her character after this. I think that might be the only way it redeems the scene is if they do show some of that. Of course I want to see her get revenge, because you do, like, right? You do. And I don't want to see Theon get revenge for her. I don't want to see him get this hero complex and come out of his vegetative fugitive state and kill Ramsay for her. I don't want that. I want her character, I guess, to have more complexity, but I also don't want it to be like this. I'm going to kill him and that's how it's going to be, like,
close the book.
Right.
Done,
right. Exactly.
Recovery done.
And so I think one of the last ways that writers and producers could do better is take care of your viewers. Maybe it's too difficult to have a trigger warning at the beginning of an episode. I've never seen HBO do that. I don't think that's something they're going to start. But I think there's a way to provide resources after the episode. I think there's a way to consult with, you know, national experts who know a lot about rape and its effects and have worked with survivors for years, who they could have talked to when they were making this scene, when they were writing it, when they were filming it, right? So maybe they wouldn't have listened, because I'm sure they have their own artistic, you know, vision of what they want Game of Thrones to be. But
I think it's important to note, so RAIN, the National Rape, Assault, Incest, and Abuse. I think I mixed up some letters in there. I apologize. But you know what I'm getting at. They're a national resource, and they have a hotline. And they say every time a major television show depicts rape or sexual assault, whether be a male or a female victim, that they see an uptick in the numbers of callers to their hotline. And that's important. So if you're going to make this part of your show, then be responsible. Take care of your viewers and give them somewhere to go, someone to talk to. That's just responsible television.
Mm-hmm.
So in light of taking your own advice, I guess some lasting thoughts we just want to kind of leave everyone with is, be a critical consumer of the mm-hmm. television and media that you are consuming.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to think of the explicit and implicit messages you're getting and to critically analyze them.
Mm-hmm. I think our attention is a valuable thing, and I think we have the responsibility and obligation to be critical where we gaze at attention. So
we want to thank you for listening to this nonviolence half hour.
45 minutes.
45 minutes is a little long today. So as we go, we will give you some music.
Yeah. So our final song is "Came Out of Lady" by Rebel Bucket, and this is 91.9.
Came Out of a Lady.
than a gun exploding light. And ponder if it was worth my time to sing these things and do these things and stumble at them every time. You came out of a lady, and I want you to save me. It's amazing. You came out of out of